Welcome to Tell Me More Live, the recorded version of the storytelling event of, well, the same name at the Push Comedy Theater in Norfolk, Virginia. I'm Deb Markham, your podcast host and the producer of the show. Our live event hosts up to 6 storytellers sharing their personal stories with humor and maybe a little exaggeration. In this recording, Carl Hott traveled an hour and a half from Richmond, Virginia to tell his story at our debut show, which featured 6 storytellers with host Brendan Kennedy. The theme of the night was journeys. Carl is a great news designer and wonderful friend who has a special love for those who have led him into uncharted territory. Not sure what I mean? Listen to his story.
There's a saying in the ballroom dance community: an optimist is someone who thinks taking a step backward after taking a step forward is not a disaster, but more like a cha-cha. Every time I think of that saying, it makes me smile because it's completely true. I've had an on-again, off-again love affair with dancing most of my life. I have. I've continued to pursue it even when it doesn't love me back. Unfortunately, having a lack of confidence will cause you to take more backward steps than forward ones. And as you may have already been able to tell, I don't have a great deal of confidence. But in the long run, as in most relationships, I found that it's well worth the effort. My first memory of social dancing is from a school dance in the 6th grade. As I was a bit of the nerd, I hid from the crowd behind the lockers with another nerd friend of mine named Dan, and we just danced like this. I did manage to emerge long enough to work up the courage to ask a girl for a slow dance, and I thought she had a good time, but when I came to school the next day, she had spread a vile rumor that I had looked down the front of her dress. In my defense, though, I was a foot taller, so hunched over her as I was, I can totally see the misunderstanding. It took 15 years for me to even consider dancing again. A nearby university was teaching ballroom dancing, and some friends had encouraged me to try it. They told me that it was a great way to meet women, and I figured every avenue I had open to me would be a good one. It was at this point in my life I would experience the first aspect of my relationship with dancing: rejection. In the dance world, the person who initiates the movement is the leader, and the person who responds to the lead is the follower. Are there any dancers in here? Anyone? Yes. Then you'll know what I'm talking about. Everybody else is just going to kind of look at me, what? When a new leader approaches an experienced follower, it's considered good etiquette to dance with them and make them feel welcome. Unfortunately, this particular college happened to be very cliquish, and all the women that I asked wanted to dance with somebody else. Instead of feeling like a leader among men, I felt like a paramecium in a petri dish. But fear not, either out of pity or genuine interest, someone will eventually dance with you if you ask enough people. In my view, that's the second way dancing is like relationships. That's funny. If at first you don't kick the football, Charlie Brown, try again. At this stage, after newcomers start trading war stories, dancing seems less like relationships and more like cheap, tawdry sex. First, you can have as many dance partners as you want, as long as you're relatively well-groomed, not attached, not a complete jerk. Second, everybody who does it always thinks they're a lot better at it than they are. Third, it's the people who are worst at it who complain the loudest about how bad their partner was. And finally, if you had a really good dance, you will ask everybody with an eye shot to dance with you until you can't even stand. I moved to Richmond to take a job 4 years ago with the local newspaper. Yeah, I'm from Richmond. I'm a transplant. And the first thing I did, thank you. The first thing I did after I arrived was check out the dance studios. Eventually, I found one where I felt extremely welcomed. The co-owner is an incredibly sweet, helium-voiced, 5-foot-tall woman named Veronica. To her credit, she's never accused me of looking down the front of her dress. Veronica's the one who encouraged me to do my first ballroom competition 3 years ago. Trying to impress your dance partner is pressure enough, but you can't imagine what the pressure is like when you have the eyes of three judges on you. My first competition dance was like one of those movie moments where time stops and you can't hear any sound, and everything moves in slow motion. Every move you make feels like it's taking forever. But as the dances continue, the music comes up and the movement gets faster. By the end of your 10th dance, you don't even think about it. When it was finally over, I was relieved and confident in the knowledge that I had climbed over a big hurdle in my dance journey. After dinner, social dancing, and awards, I clapped enthusiastically for my friends as they picked up their medals and their plaques. The last award was for Best Newcomer. And when they called my name, my jaw hit the ground. I paid the judges, I whispered to Veronica as she handed me my trophy. When you have a confidence problem, winning a dance contest isn't validation of the hard work that you did. It turns into a voice in your head that tells you how much of a fluke it was. And if the judges really had looked at your dancing hard enough, you never would have won. I didn't compete again for years until I started to learn a dance called West Coast Swing. Are there any West Coast Swing dancers in the house? That's great. They both have validity, but West Coast looks cooler, I'm sorry. West Coast is one of those few dances where you can really get out of your shell and express yourself, so shrinking violets like me are usually not very good at it. I've had some help from women from Charlottesville who are some of the best West Coast dancers in this state, but a lot of times it feels like I'm jogging in quicksand. At a competition in North Carolina about 5 months ago, an acquaintance managed to talk me into competing. As I was standing by the wall in one of two lines waiting to start, I instantly regretted it. I don't think that it would have been possible to have been more nervous. As we were herded onto the stage, I kept walking in the exact opposite direction before each of the three dances where I was told to go. Some of the women tried to make me look good, but I couldn't get loosened up. I kept making mistakes and continued to sweat. Because I was dancing three songs in a row, I couldn't towel off. I left the stage in an embarrassed, dripping mess. If they'd handed out awards for awkwardness, I would have gotten first place. Unfortunately, they didn't, and so I left empty-handed. I wanted to make up some sort of excuse to leave and not come back, but I couldn't because I'd signed up for a private lesson after the competition with a dance pro I admire named Jason Barnes. When Jason asked me what my goals were as a dancer, I told him I just wanted my dance partners to enjoy themselves. In response, he pulled out an iPad. He had recorded one of my dances, and he showed it to me. "Did you feel good about that dance?" he asked. I quickly responded in the negative. "Well, did you have fun?" he said. "I couldn't," I replied. "I was under too much pressure that I couldn't concentrate." You have to ask yourself why you enjoy dancing, he said. If you're not having fun, how is the woman going to? Which brings me to the third and most important lesson about relationships and dance. You'll never be comfortable with others unless you're comfortable with yourself. I've taken that lesson to heart, and I think I've made some promising steps in the last few months. For one, I helped start a West Coast swing group in Richmond, and our dance parties have been attended by people from all across the state and beyond. Also, 1 week from today, I'm doing a tango performance for a fundraiser at my dance studio. I know that before I step onto the floor, that paralyzing feeling of inadequacy will grab me by the lapels. I'll probably have hands that feel like a wet towel. But when I'm finished, I'll have knocked one more shyness block out of the wall, and maybe one day that wall will come tumbling down. Thank you.
That was Carl Hott sharing his story during our debut show. We have to extend a special thank you to Carl for allowing us to lead, maybe even force him onto our stage. Thank you, Carl. Your story was well worth it. To everyone else, thank you for listening to Tell Me More Live, the recorded version of Tell Me More, a live storytelling event at the Push Comedy Theater in Norfolk, Virginia. If you would like to join Tell Me More or contribute in any way, visit tellmemorelive.org. That's tellmemorelive.org, and click on About. Don't forget to also keep an eye to the site for new podcasts to come. In the meantime, remember, a happy ending always depends on where the story ends.